Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special edition of the Envy Pro Call. I have with us today our guest, Dr. Tanya Lubner, who is the Director of Education for the Water Quality Association. Tanya, are you with us?
I am. Good morning or afternoon.
Good morning or afternoon, whatever the case may be, depending on when you are listening to this. Tanya, I wanted to have a conversation with you because we have, you and I have spoke extensively. I had the honor of helping put together the Modular Education Program, which is the new certification program that WQA has introduced. We get a lot of questions. I get a lot of questions. I know you do as well. So I wanted to take a few minutes and have a conversation, not just about the logistics of the new certification program, but also to maybe address some of the concerns that some people who are not familiar with the program might have. First off, if we could start right off just with you giving an overview of what the new program is. Maybe you could describe how it works and also what is different about it than the old program, the old way of getting certification. And I do want to recognize that there are webinars available, so there is an opportunity for listeners to gather a lot more information than what I expect to have on this call on the website, on WQA's website, as well as the webinars that WQA offers monthly, right?
Almost monthly, yeah.
Okay, so with the understanding that there's going to be a lot more detail on with those other resources, can you briefly explain the program and how it is now and how it's different than what was there last year?
Certainly. I think the place to start really is to understand why we have a certification program in the first place, and it's there to answer two needs. One of them is how to train new people, and the other is credibility. The company, the people out in front of customers need, and the industry, the water treatment industry in general, needs to have credibility in front of consumers and in front of regulators. And I think the consumer piece most recently has become even more important because of the availability of information on the internet. There's a lot that's out there. Consumers are able to self-educate. Unfortunately, as we know, a lot of the information that's out on the internet is either a little too technical, it's inaccurate in certain cases, or it doesn't quite meet the needs of what the consumer is looking for. And this is where our industry excels, in being able to go in and talk to the consumer and find out what the actual problem is, test the water, look at the water usage, et cetera, and design a treatment solution that really fits with all those needs. So for that, as I mentioned, you need training. You need to be able to get your people to the point where they're capable of doing it and doing it correctly and sizing the systems correctly. And then we also have a lot of regulatory interest lately. It's always been there, and we started this program back in 1977, the professional certification program, to show the regulators and consumers that we as an industry are responsible and that we are interested in making sure that our people are delivering correct information when they're in front of consumers.
The old way the system was since 1978, are you saying that that method really didn't effectively show that to the regulators? And was it not a great tool for that? You know, so that they could look at that and say, yes, this can be used for licensing or for to assist in regulatory issues. I mean, why the necessity for the change, I guess, is the question.
Sure. So back in 77, not 78, back in 77 when the certification program came out, what we had was exams. And the dealership, it was a certified dealer at that point, not even a certified individual necessarily. But the exams were really the only way that we discriminated between somebody who met the industry standards and somebody who didn't in terms of knowing what they were doing. But as the lawyers constantly remind us, and as regulators do too, just because you can pass an exam doesn't mean that you actually can perform correctly in the field. And that's what this new program is all about. We recognize that with the certification, we as an association needed to provide education as well. So the education program actually came about after the exams. But for up until 2 years ago, we were doing it all through textbooks. And textbooks are good if you're the type of person who learns through textbooks, but you're not really getting any of that hands-on practice. So even with textbooks out there, still the only tool that we had was the exam, and the only thing we could continue to say about the proficiency of our people is that, well, they passed our exam. It said nothing about what they were actually capable of doing in the field, and it didn't really test. The education process never really got them out in the field and tested it, that aspect of it. This new program does, and that's what the regulators are responding to.
Can you give me an example of how, you know, how it might test somebody's proficiency in the field or their knowledge in the field? What do they have to do? What's an example of what they have to do to demonstrate that they've actually had experience in the field?
So the program includes hands-on learning activities. We call this combination of formal and informal learning. The formal learning is prior to doing the hands-on activities, the learner will read a short article that explains the background information. So, for example, somebody's learning about water testing, and they might read a little bit about hardness and what is hardness. So the next step is to demonstrate that it actually exists in the customer's water, and for that you need to take a water test. Well, you can read about how do you take a water test, but it's much more effective as a learning tool to actually go out and do a water test and then have somebody grade how well you did.
And who should be grading that? I mean, so used to be, you know, somebody, a total stranger, could just read the book and go take the exam. Who holds them accountable now to make sure that they've actually gone out and done that water test? I mean, what's to keep them from just making it up?
Mm-hmm. Well, the exam is still there. The exam is what you still have to pass at the end of this program. But the program itself, because it's online, and some people might be familiar with a learning management system. What a learning management system does is it launches the online courses and it also tracks the progress. Our program uses a learning management system I like to call it on steroids, because it overcomes the one limitation, which is if it's a hands-on class, how do you track that, or a hands-on activity? So this system is able to track those hands-on activities through forms that have to get filled out, and the forms will ask some questions based on, for example, that water test that was taken. So it will ask what the results were. It'll ask for a photograph of the test vial. It'll ask for somebody to grade that. And the person grading it is called a mentor in this program. And that's usually somebody within the learner's company, or somebody if they've reached outside of the company, somebody that they trust who knows that portion of the work and is capable of deciding whether it was done correctly. We have not required that the mentors be certified, but that is coming. We wanted to get enough people into the program first and get them experienced with the program. And once we get past that critical mass, we will be able to start requiring that the mentors either have completed the program on their own, have completed the program, or that they have gone as far as attaining certification as well.
We've still got the topics and the subjects that we had before, even with the books. But now they are updated, and not only are they more modern, but because they're digital, we can change and improve them and upgrade them as technology is upgraded and as technology improves. We don't have to reprint an entire book, correct? So if there's one technology.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's certainly the technology, having that online platform and having the program broken up into little learning activities, short learning activities, rather than a 300-page book, certainly makes it easier to upgrade, makes it easier to add new modules to it. But we did more than just put the books online. We completely restructured the order in which the education is provided. We took a lot of the focus on drinking water and filtration and reverse osmosis that somebody wouldn't get until after they passed the first certification exam. We took that and we put it up front. But we also structured the material in terms of tiers of difficulty. We recognize that somebody who's coming from outside the industry or somebody who's coming in without any technical background is not going to be ready to jump into the chemical explanation of how an RO works or the thermodynamics or hydrodynamics of a water softener. We structure the program such that there is exposure, but not overwhelming exposure, to this full range of topics. And that is the basics level. So there is a basic explanation of the contaminants, more of an awareness almost of what the different water contaminants can be, both for working water and for drinking water. There's an awareness of what the treatment methods could be and an understanding of why water analysis is necessary. We also introduce ethics at the basics level. And then the next level up gets into much more detailed information about all of this. It starts to get into the sizing of the various equipment. It gets into fixture counts. It gets into the full ethics course and so on.
Okay, so you're talking about basics levels, and for somebody who is not familiar or this is their first introduction to the modular education program or the MEP, I'm brand new. I came in, I just started in this industry. I go to work for a company, and this particular company, this dealership, is encouraging me to become certified. And what happens? What do I do? Kind of walk me through my process of becoming certified.
Sure. So there are two steps. There's the completion of the curriculum in the modular education program, and then there's the exam. The curriculum in the modular education program is going to consist of three steps, three levels. There's going to be the basics, which everybody takes regardless of which certification they're going for, installer, water specialist, et cetera. There's the fundamentals, which, again, everybody takes, and you go in order. You finish the basics, you move on, finish all the activities in the fundamentals, and then, just like with a college major or with almost a career path, you decide what your third one is going to be, what your third module is going to be. So if your plan is to become a certified water specialist, you're going to take the design module. If it's to become a water treatment representative, you'll take the sales module. Installers take the installer module, and so on. And once all those three modules have been completed, and with the online program, we do monitor progress, and we can tell when everything has been done, and we can even look at what kind of information has been sent over to the mentors to view and what the mentors have accepted, what they haven't accepted. Once all that has been completed, the learner becomes eligible for the exam. Whenever they're ready to take it, they let us know and we get them set up with an exam session.
So and they can take the exam through either the same way they used to be able to take it. They can either have it proctored in or take it at one of the state or national association meetings, right?
Right, one of the public sessions at national or regional meetings.
Right. And is proctoring still available?
Yes, proctoring is still available.
Okay. And those guidelines are the same and can be found on the Water Quality Association website, right?
Yep, within our professional certification program.
What's the status of the program, Tanya? I know that we had the beta for well over a year. And what I mean by beta is we put it out there so that people could try it and give feedback and help us improve it as we built it and we made changes. We officially launched the program at National WQA this year so that now you're required to complete. We were allowing people to get the beta program but they could still take the exam and do it the old way. Now that's no longer an option. In order to receive certification, we have to complete this modular education program. What's the status of the program now? Is it up and functioning? Is it working? How's the rollout been?
So there is no more beta program. The program is live, and for the three basic certifications, water specialist, certified water specialist, certified installer, certified water treatment representative, which used to be our certified sales rep. So for those three certifications, the requirement is to take the modular education program, the specific curriculum, before the student is eligible for the exam. A new certification that we're going to be bringing online is the certified service technician. The education is now available for that in the modular education program, so somebody can start going to become eligible for the exam. The exam is coming out more than likely in March. So people will be able to certify to that, and that'll actually be a great thing for the certified installers who've never had a next step with the old program. For the upper levels of certified water specialist and the service tech, again, service tech is brand new for us. What we used to have is we used to have certified water specialist levels 1 through 6. And the way people got there is they would take specialty exams following the main certified water specialist exam. We have stepped away from that. One of the problems with the 1 through 6 is because we never required any specific order in which those specialty exams would be taken until somebody got up to 6. You really didn't know where their specialty was. We didn't know if it was if they got to, let's say, CWS 3 by taking filtration or by taking RO or what have you. So we felt that our program would be stronger, our industry would be stronger, if we moved to something else. And what we decided to move to was a certified water specialist level and a master water specialist level. And that also gave us the opportunity to beef up the certified water specialist education because, again, some of those topics you wouldn't get exposed to, like details of RO or how to size a point of entry filter, you really didn't see that until you got into the specialty exams, which didn't make a whole lot of sense because all of those topics are covered by the certified water specialist level 1 exam. So we felt like we weren't really doing the education. But now that we have taken that away, the master water specialist content, the educational content in the exam, has an entirely different focus from what we used to have. And it's, I don't want to scare anybody, but it's a little more advanced than it used to be. But I also, from an education perspective, it's information that people at that level absolutely should have, and I think they will appreciate actually having it written down. I know that there have been some opinions expressed, or some frustration expressed, in fact, from people who are at that level at how much difficulty they have in acquiring that information. So the master exam, there will be two master water specialist exams. Those are not available yet. We're probably looking at March and July of next year for the first and second exams for the water specialist.
And that addresses one of the questions that I have for you. We grandfathered in certain individuals. So if you were level 5 or 6, then you were grandfathered in as a master water specialist, and you, it's not going to be necessary for those individuals that were level 5 or 6 to take those master exams. If, on the other hand, if you were below that, your designation now doesn't, it no longer has the number, so you're no longer CWS 4. You are now
certified water specialist.
Right. And I think that's been frustrating for some individuals to realize that they had gone all the way up to 4 and now they in their mind have the same certification as somebody that may have just gone through the level one certification. What's your thought? You know, if somebody says something to you about that at the, you know, at one of the shows, what's your response to them? How do you address that concern or that frustration?
Well, first of all, I would congratulate them on staying with the program and getting up to those extra levels. I know it's difficult to do because usually you're doing this after working a full day plus. But we did make a lot of announcements and left a lot of time to help people get up to that level. We didn't just say, okay, today, that's it, we're done, nobody who's less than five gets through. We gave people a year and a half warning that this was going to happen, and quite a few people took advantage of that warning and got all the way up to level five to make sure that they would be grandfathered in. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, can I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm a level four, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I screwed up. I should have done it. But now I feel bad. I want to get my master. I want to go up and I want to get my master. What do I do? I have to wait now. I can't advance. I can't move up until March or actually July, really, of next year, right?
Well, let me return that devil's advocate. You had more than a year. And one of the things we did when picking who was going to get grandfathered and who wasn't, and it wasn't arbitrary, but we also looked at how many people we had at which end of the program. And there was a sprinkle of people at the 2, 3, and 4 level, and a number of those people had been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could wait that long before becoming interested in the master, why can't you wait one more year?
And I think, Tanya, I know that this is, I'm asking your question, I'm playing devil's advocate, but let me add another thing that you and I have talked about on this very topic. Because I, first off, I think you and I both understand the frustration. I understand, and I think you do as well, that time can slip away from somebody, and mm-hmm. and you look at it and you go, man, I should have done that. I should have. And so most of the people I've had that conversation with, I don't know that they're necessarily blaming WQA for that. And in fact, I think, you know, if they are with the program, they understand that they missed that opportunity to get it the old way. There's a couple things I want to add to that. Number one, you're going to actually be happy. In fact, I'm looking forward to, even though I have the master certification, I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to taking the master certification exams just to challenge myself, because I have that designation, I want to continue to learn on behalf of the industry and to grow. So I'm hoping that anybody that wants to get up to that level, that they will. The other thing is, as we are talking to the regulators, and I know you've been involved in conversations in Colorado and Ohio and in Texas and California, and you were just telling me New Hampshire that you just
Rhode
had
Island.
A, I'm sorry?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, another one, yeah, out east. And we are seeing more and more and more regulators addressing this certification. I mean, this certification is becoming more of an issue, more of a topic when we're talking about regulation. And we had, like you said, we have to draw the line somewhere. And so to go back and to be able to say anybody that is certified, that receives a certification now or in the future, period, is required to go through this level. And so there does have to be that line. That's really important. And I think it might be frustrating for some individuals right now, but I think that you make a really valid point about, you know, they waited July, is not that far away. And if you are really looking to grow yourself in the industry and on behalf of the industry, then I think you'll find that it's going to be worth the wait. That the program is worth it. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay. So basically, going back, I'm the new person. I go through the courses. I choose my path. Now, where do I get the mentor? Is that something that the Water Quality Association assigns to me? How do I pick a mentor? How do I choose a mentor? And I know you said that it's good if it's somebody local, but who assigns that mentor to me?
The choice of mentor is up to the student. I would think the point of going through the training in the first place is to learn something and to become better. So I feel that WQA doesn't necessarily need to provide a whole lot of oversight on this. I think it behooves the industry, behooves the employer to make sure that the mentor that's selected for the new student is going to be worth the money and the time and the effort spent on not only the program, but also on developing that new employee. And why shoot yourself in the foot? So the mentor can be somebody within the company who is more experienced for the basics. An experienced salesperson is perfectly fine. As you move up to fundamentals, you might want a salesperson for some things, maybe the service manager or an experienced service technician for others. And then as you go up into the higher levels, you want somebody who's been doing the type of work that the training addresses.
So they can have more than one mentor going through the program.
They can have more than one mentor, certainly. They can have more than one mentor for a particular module. And this helps take the load off the mentors as well, because there is certainly some time commitment on the mentor side required. The ideal situation would be to have that experienced person within the company. And this allows, in addition to the technical training, it allows the company to pass on the company culture. Because everybody, I think there's a whole spectrum of how people approach water treatment. What do they consider worth treating? What do they consider not worth treating? Everybody's presentation is likely to be a little bit different, and their understanding of what a sales presentation should look like is different. Although, you know, you'd be surprised in putting this program together for both the sales portion of it, for the installation and home entry and what makes a good service person, et cetera, there's actually quite a bit of agreement among the industry, and I'm really glad to see that, because it means that the information that we're putting into this program is consistent industry-wide. It's not just WQA going out there and saying, this is how you're going to do things. It's the industry telling us that this is how we want to do things. So coming back to the mentor. So ideally, they'd be within the company. There is certainly the possibility for getting a mentor from outside the company. WQA has a list of volunteer mentors. There are consultants who can serve as mentors. You know, WQA has no control over fees and such. That's something to work out with that consultant. But certainly,
that's me, by the way, that you're referring to. And I don't have a problem, because this is my podcast. So everybody listening to this, there is a fee associated if I'm going to mentor you, but it's worth every penny. And Tanya, you don't have to agree or disagree to that. I understand you can't, but I'm telling you.
I'm not allowed to comment on it in one way or another. But certainly that possibility is out there, that that avenue is available.
Speaking of cost, because this is something, you know, and I know you've heard this as well. I hear it a lot, and I'm curious about your response to this. You know, it used to be you could have, I know when I was sales manager at the dealership that I used to work with, I made it mandatory. I believe in the certification so much that and what it does for the industry, that I actually made at least level one mandatory for our sales team. And what I did is I ordered a couple sets of books. We shared them. We studied them. We proctored in the exam. Here, it's not really possible to order one set of books and share. There are individuals. So I couldn't buy one set of books and just pass it on from employee to employee. And so there's a couple different concerns that people express to me. Number one, you know, how much does the program cost for one individual? Isn't it going to get quite costly for multiple individuals? And also, what happens if they quit? Before, if I had the set of books that I bought the education kit. It was, you know, $130, and I bought the kit. And if I started training a salesperson and 3 months later they quit, I had those books, and I just passed them on to the next person that I hired. How do we address that, and how does that work now?
Sure. So the program, it's not quite right to think about it as books. It's more like an online workbook. So if you have a workbook that you give to somebody who's new and they fill in a portion of it, you can't pass that same workbook on to somebody else because all the answers are there and all the activities have been completed. So it's more accurate to think of this program as a workbook. The cost per person for WQA members is $350 for the education path, and that gives you a one-year subscription. The advantage of actually limiting it to a one-year subscription from an employer's perspective is that you have now given your employee a solid deadline, and it is totally doable to get through all of those learning activities within the year. It's doable to get through them in 3 months, 6 months if you can't devote as much time to them. And the three-month number comes from about 2 to 3 hours a week spent on the program. And then, you know, we did do a little bit of benchmarking as far as this program cost, because certainly we are very much aware of the fact of what the budgets look like for the dealerships. And as a trade association, our goal is not to generate a whole bunch of profit for ourselves here. Our goal is to serve our members. We do have to pay for the program costs, and we do have to make sure that there's something put aside for future program development, and I am getting on a daily basis, I'm being asked, well, can we do this, and can we do that, and can we do that? All of that takes time and effort and staff that has to get paid too. That's kind of where the cost is coming from. Now, again, this is a one-year subscription. You get, as part of this program, essentially a workbook. You get online short readings that are linked directly to the education, or rather I should say the education and quizzes are such, and the hands-on activities are linked directly to the background reading, makes it very easy. And it's a combination of both this formal learning, the reading, and informal learning, which is the hands-on and the quizzes. Now, compare that to maybe an education or a training program that you might send your staff person to for a day. Some of these things run in the thousands of dollars. You can spend $1,000 sending a person to a training program for 1 day, maybe 3 days. Research has shown that the person's going to come back and retain about 10% of that because it's all formal learning. It's usually all lecture. On the other hand, you do this over time, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and it's a little bit of reading reinforced with using that information in the field, and you get much more efficient training and much more effective training. The learner is going to remember a lot more. They're going to be able to apply the information a lot better than if they were just reading it or just sitting through a lecture.
The learning modules are there, and I remember... Mm-hmm. And I still do this, actually, occasionally. I have all the advanced books from getting my CWS6 when that was the program. There are times that I go back and I refer back. I just did this a couple weeks ago on an ozone issue. I went back to my ozone book and I referred back to it. Now, I've got the certification, but I didn't remember. I remember where to find it. You know, where to find that information. And I know that that's the case with the knowledge base on this education program as well, that as you're going through, you're working at completing the workbooks. You know, you're mm-hmm. working at completing the sections there. What happens at the end of that year? They've gotten their certification. You know, they've completed, let's say they've gotten their CWS1. They took the exam. They're no longer paying that $350. Do they still have access to the knowledge base? Can they go back and get that information even though they've completed the certification?
Yes. As a member of WQA, a company and all its employees have unlimited access to that online knowledge base. So if they need to look something up, they can do so from their smartphone in the field.
Even if they've completed the program and they paid their $350 that year subscription, because that $350 gives them that year to get it. As long as
That's
the
right.
company is a WQA member, they have access to that knowledge base, whether or not, and that goes whether or not they have access to that updated knowledge base and that very thorough knowledge base, regardless of whether or not they are going through this program or not, correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One advantage of going through the program is you learn what's in the knowledge base and you learn how to access it.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. So you actually know where it's at and where to find it. And actually, I mean, it's an extensive knowledge base. I mean, it's really incredible for those of you listening. This is a really, it's like an encyclopedia specifically for our industry. I mean, it's really impressive. And to have gone through the program, you know what's in there. And I mean, you can't even, you're like, wow, that's in there. I didn't even think about that. So that's good. Okay.
Right. And we can continue to update it because, again, it's a flexible platform. It's a lot more updatable than the textbooks ever were, because you want to change a couple of words, you got to reprint the whole darn book.
Right. Okay. So that's what I wanted to do. I'm a new sales professional. I wanted to get my CWS-1 and I wanted to go out there. Let's say I'm an office manager. I'm never going to be out in the field. I need some basic knowledge, some basic information. Do I have to pay that $350?
No. The modules are available a la carte. So I mentioned there's the basics, fundamentals, and then the core that corresponds to the certification exam. For office managers, I would highly recommend the basics. It's going to help them understand what the company does. And this is office managers, office support personnel, and really anybody who's brand new, who's maybe not quite ready for certification, but needs to have some information on the industry. The basics module is perfect. The basics module is $100.
And now that does not get them any kind of certification if they take that $100. And that's $100 for the year. They have that access to complete that program for a year, right?
Yep, for the full year. Honestly, it takes about 6 weeks at the most.
So they complete that basics program for $100 and they decide, you know, this isn't so bad. I want to go forward. They don't have to go all the way. They can then take the next one, which is?
They can take the fundamentals module, which is $125. Going a la carte restarts their subscription. When they purchase the next module, that starts the year all over again.
I see. Okay, so that addresses that. Well, what if I didn't do it in a year? That addresses that. I mean, you could theoretically, if you're doing it all a la carte, take 2.5 years for the $350.
You could. You know, I have talked to a number of employers who have asked me about getting their people certified, and I've mentioned both methods, that they could purchase it as a whole, purchase that pathway as a whole, and purchase it a la carte. And, you know, I found it kind of interesting. They were also saying that they're going to get it as a whole because they really, if they're making the investment to get their people certified, they want to put a time limit on it.
Okay, so let's go back to what if that person quits. So let's say I'm a sales manager and I put somebody through and I pay the $350 up front, you know, all at once, okay? And I've got a person and that person gets through the basics and halfway through the fundamentals and they quit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hire somebody new. Do I have to pay that whole $350 again?
No. What you'd only pay for is the module that was used. So it's essentially ripping out the pages in the workbook that were already filled in and replacing them with new ones.
Okay. Even if there was, like, if they got halfway through the fundamentals, I would still need to pay for the entire fundamentals course, though.
It depends on how far they get through, because a lot of this, as I mentioned, the program fee comes from us needing to cover costs. We get charged hosting fees whenever there's a user ID created in the first place, and then for any work that's done. So if somebody gets halfway through the basics, we've been charged for all of that work being done. We've been charged for that user ID existing for the 3 months, 4 months, whatever. So if somebody has not done anything in the program and yet they were signed up, what we're looking at is something similar to a restocking fee. So we can't return the full amount, but we can refund most of it.
WQA's desire here is to get people certified. So you're not going to make it difficult over I mean, you're gonna work with somebody if they have that challenge. You're going to be willing to work with them if at all possible, to help incentivize them and help them overcome those challenges. So we've got kind of the cost, we've got the time frame. Now, another thing that I've heard, in fact, I helped you in Texas at the Texas Water Quality Association, and mm-hmm. you were teaching a class where we had a bunch of people come in and kind of sample the program. We set them up mm-hmm. With users and so that they could go through the first several learning activities on the basics course. And right. it was a four-hour program, and probably at least an hour of it was spent, and there were maybe 20-some people in there, so I understand that, but at least an hour of it was spent on technical issues, on computer issues. For somebody that's not computer literate, and I think this is one of the challenges that we run into, and I know you and I have talked about this, a lot of the owners and managers or the people that would encourage their team to get certified are not necessarily the most computer literate. They're also wearing a million different hats because they're running a business and they're busy. So they bring somebody in, the sales professional may not be computer literate at all either, and they have challenges, and then they take that to the owner or manager, and the owner and manager looks at it and says, I don't have time to figure this out right now either, and it just sort of sits there. Nobody moves forward because there are a couple little challenges in, you know, overcoming some of the technical learning curve. How do you suggest somebody prepares for that? So I think what happens is they just delve into it. They sign up for the program, they sign on, and after a couple different activities, you know, they find that there are some challenges. Maybe it's with a browser. I know that the system works better with certain browsers than other browsers. So how do you suggest that they prepare for those technical issues so that they don't get five activities into it and get frustrated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been giving this a lot of thought. I think that lack of computer literacy is an unfortunate but common issue in the industry. I also think it inhibits our industry in certain cases. But as far as this particular program, we offer some support material that I think will help, and one of those materials is the webinar that you mentioned. I do a webinar about once a month with new users to walk them through some known stumbling blocks and to help them overcome them. We also have a recording of one of those webinars on our website. Whenever we send out the link and user ID to new users, we include the where to find that information on the website. I don't know how many people take advantage of that.
While we're talking about that, can mm-hmm. you tell the listeners where they would go for that?
Sure.
They're grabbing pins right now and writing this down.
The website is wqa.org/MEP, as in Modular Education Program, /support. So it's wqa.org/MEP/support. And you will see a link to user manuals for learners, mentors, administrators. You will also see a link to a video. Now, as far as the other thing, because what I noticed in that Texas class and some of the classes that I've done since is that once the users get past the browser issue, they're fine. And the browser issue is not always just having the right browser. It's understanding how to navigate between multiple open windows, how to navigate between multiple tabs on a browser. It's those things like that. Everybody knows how to click on links. That doesn't seem to be a problem. But I'm thinking there's got to be a ton of videos on that on YouTube. So I thought I might just link to a couple of them from that support page as maybe some prerequisites. Watch this before trying the program, something like that.
I have links on motorvitality.com directly to those links to the Water Quality Association as well. So those of you that are members to motorvitality.com, go to the certification page, and there will be links taking you directly to pages that Tanya is referencing now. Tanya, I think that's a pretty good overview. I have one question that I'm kind of, you know, going back to the regulation issue, the regulatory mm-hmm. issue, this is something you and I have spoken about a lot in the past, and where it's going and how important this certification program is to raising the credibility bar, not only for our industry as a whole, but also in as far as the way regulators look at our industry and look at the certification program. But do you see a time, just, and I know this is kind of just an opinion thing, and I might be better served to talk to people like Dave Loveday and, you know, others who really are right in the mix on this, but do you see a time where certification will be mandatory or required in our industry? Because that's one of the big questions that we get a lot of times is, you know, what's in it for me? Why should I get certified? Is it really going to help me sell more? You know, do my customers really care if I'm certified? I hear that a lot. You know, yeah, I used to have my certification, never kept it up because, and it never really helped me sell anything more. And for me, it's not that it's going to help you sell more, although certainly the confidence and the confidence you gain from it, plus the knowledge that allows you to better serve your customers, I think alone is worth the certification, not to mention the integrity and reputation for, I mean, we move away from the scare tactic sales and the emotional, the traditional sales that a lot of times in our industry uses, you know, where it's the pushy, backslappy type sales stuff, you know, and moves more into a customer service, more of a customer-centric sale. But can you foresee a time where it's going to be mandatory or where certification is required, sort of like a plumber's license or an electrician's license would be?
I think it's coming. How quickly, I don't know. But what I have noticed is that regulatory agencies like to talk to other regulatory agencies in the same position in other states. And if they see something that's working in one state, they're going to adopt it for their own state. They're not going to recreate the wheel. So the fact that we do have the certification as an alternative to hiring a master plumber, full-time master plumber, in Colorado, and that we have Rhode Island looking at it, and Idaho is another state that's looking at it. Rhode Island is pretty close. Well, I won't say they're close to adoption, but they're pretty serious in their discussions, let's put it that way. And then Ohio has started looking at it as well, so I do see it as building, and this has all happened in, like, the last 6 months. I think the modular education program, the new method, gives us considerably greater credibility with the regulators than just the textbooks alone ever did. And, you know, even if the regulation never comes, I think we all recognize that in the days of the internet and social media, we can't have the fly-by-nights anymore. We can't have the scare tactics. And by getting certified and staying certified, you show the industry and the consumers as well, but you definitely show the industry where you believe the industry needs to be, where you believe the professionalism of the industry needs to be. So, you know, people will ask, well, why should I keep my certification? And I would say outside of regulations, that's really the best reason, is that you are showing that leadership for the rest of the industry.
I think I want to add just kind of my opinion to that, because I think that you're right, and I appreciate so much your thoughts on that. And I think it's important to recognize here that I do not work for the Water Quality Association. In fact, I have really no affiliation with WQA, except that I strongly support the organization and what it does for our industry. And so I do not work for WQA. I'm not endorsed by WQA. I try and keep my business separate from anything other than just supporting the organization. But the question I get all the time is, what does WQA do for me, really? I mean, why would I pay my membership dues? Why even be a member? And I think that the regulatory issues is the biggest reason. I think it was one of the past executive directors that I was speaking with that said that that kind of opened my eyes. It said a trade organization has one purpose. There's one purpose, and that is to help the industry in terms of regulatory issues, to get involved in legal issues, and to help protect the industry from legislators that don't know what they're talking about, basically, or that have their own self-interest. And the only way a trade organization has the ability to impact regulation or legislation is through numbers. They have to have strength in numbers. And so the education program is one of the benefits that WQA can offer that not only helps the industry and raises the integrity level of the industry, but it also adds a benefit to members. And the more benefits we can give to that WQA can give to members, the more members we have and we retain, which means more ability to protect those members from obscure regulation and legislation. Would you agree with that, that it kind of circles around?
Mm-hmm. I do agree to that, that certainly strength in numbers is important. And because of those numbers, we're able to offer more services.
Any final thoughts that you have, Dr. Tanya Lubner?
I think, you know, based on the feedback that I got from everybody who was involved in putting this program together, and Kelly, they very much echoed a lot of what you said. And then these are dealers and manufacturers, technical people from manufacturers who were involved at every stage of putting together the outline for this and then the content for this program. Every single one of them looked at what we were trying to put together and said, this is fantastic. And it was, they had a variety of reasons. It was because it breaks the education down to small pieces, and it's something you can do at any time. It's available 24/7, and there's automatic feedback in the program, and there's information that has been floating around the industry but has never been as readily available as it is through this program. So everybody involved had incredible enthusiasm for this, which makes me feel much better about the project in the first place, and I think it will provide great benefits for the industry.
That being said, it's easy to look at this and be intimidated by it. And so I think that even the people that may really be involved and excited about what it has to offer, there is a little bit of an intimidation factor because it's different. It's different than what they've ever been used to. So I would have to add, try it. If you have questions, there's something you don't understand, take advantage of the multitude of resources that are out there to help you through it, because this is a good thing, not only for your company, your dealership, but also the industry as a whole. Do you want to give website information?
Certainly. Our website is WQA.org. You want to look for professional certification information under programs and services, and then you can always reach the certification department at either certification@WQA.org or education@WQA.org, and you can reach our main line at 630-505-0160.
Dr. Tanya Lubner, I so much appreciate your efforts in launching this program and putting it together. I really appreciate the time that you spent with us today, and I'm honored to be part of it in even a small way. So thank you very much.
And thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience.